Yes, sir. We are back. We are live, back in studio, back in session. Your favorite cousins are back. Your favorite duo is back. I am your host, Cam Silver.
And I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And welcome back to the Silver Voice Podcast. Yes, we are finally back in studio. It's been a minute, I know. But we finally made it back.
Yes,
here.
Sir. Yes, sir. We finally made it back. And we comfy. Let's get it, brother. Let's get it.
I'm very excited for what this weekend has in store for us. So we have championship weekend, the in-season tournament, knockout round or whatever you want to call it, the playoff stage or whatever you want to call it, the bracket.
Yeah.
That is finally set. And we're getting into the playoff push of everything in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So let's get into it. So one of my favorite matchups coming up this weekend for championship weekend is number 3 Washington versus number 5 Oregon.
Yeah, that's going to be definitely a big, big game. Big playoff implications in that. In terms of if Oregon could get that done, they're going to be, they'll be top 4. There's no reason why that they don't get into that fourth spot.
Easily.
But
the only thing that's over them right now is really just the fact that Washington beat them.
Exactly.
Other than that, Oregon has basically played better than Washington since they met back in week 7. So, but keep going.
No, I was just saying, but I think Washington will honestly pull it off. They did it once. I don't think that there's no other reason why they can't do it again.
Yeah.
I got faith in Michael Penix Jr. You've been, raving about him since before the season started. So, we're going to see. We definitely going to see. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to see it either. It's going to be very interesting because, both teams have gone in dramatically different ways since they met back in week 7. So Washington has just narrowly been escaping teams while Oregon has literally been pounding on teams. You know what I mean? It's like, for example, Washington beat Utah 35-28, but then Oregon beat them 35-6. You know what I mean? So it's things like that. And we can go into other teams like Arizona. Oregon beat Arizona 49-12 while, Washington beat them 15-7. So it's
barely skating by.
Exactly. They're barely skating by. And that was basically for almost every game until this moment. So I'm very, very interested to see how that game goes. Just going back and looking at the stats from that game, and I even said that was at that time that was game of the year so far. Penix Jr. He made himself a Heisman campaign by that point. He was 22 for 37, 302 yards for 4 touchdowns. Roman Dunsey had 8 receptions, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jalen Polk had 6 receptions, 118 yards, and a touchdown. Running back Dylan Johnson, 20 carries for 100 yards and a touchdown. And then on Oregon's side, Bo Nix, 33 for 44, 337 yards and 2 touchdowns. Running back Bucky Irvin had 22 carries, 127 yards and a touchdown. Wide receiver Torrey Franklin had 8 receptions, 154 yards and a touchdown.
That offense was putting on a clinic.
Both of them. So it's gonna be fireworks Friday night. And I'm definitely, that's definitely going to be, that easily is in my top 2 of games to watch. And then we're going to get to one of the other games later on. But that's one of my top 2 to watch. Let's go to the Big 12. Big 12, they play early. They play at 12 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay.
Got Texas and Oklahoma State. Texas is at number 7. They're holding that big win over Bama, basically. That's the reason why Bama's still at number 8. The question is, since they're at number 7, the question is, if Texas wins, what happens there? Because I'll remind you, you have Georgia. Michigan has moved up after their win against Ohio State.
Ohio State.
You have Washington at number 3, and then at number 4, you have Florida State. It's tough.
Oh man.
And all 4 of them have, all 4 of them have games this weekend. So they all 4 have something to play for.
I agree. I'm a loss for words actually, because that's difficult. With Florida State being there, especially after losing Jordan Travis, that's big. That's really big. Cause, if they went out, you can't leave them out.
Yeah.
You can't leave them out. But then also the argument is, you know, what happens if they do get inside and then we got another like TCU where they get blown out the water? You know what I'm saying? I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just more about you can't leave them out if they went out. You just can't. You can't.
No, that's my thing too with the Florida State, and we'll get to them in a second. But it's gonna be tough. Like, for both Texas and Alabama, they're going to need a lot of help.
A lot of help.
You know, but the biggest thing that they could really do is just win. Like, especially for Bama, with Bama playing the number one team.
Mm-hmm.
If they just win that right there, then they already, you know, they already...
They can make an argument to get in there.
Right. The only thing will be Texas. And then the only thing for them would be, like... Because the committee has really hold this one win over Alabama. And rightfully so, because it was a big win at that time. Week three, you stroll into Tuscaloosa. Not many teams make it out of there alive.
Exactly. No, they really don't.
And they showed out too. Quinn Ewers and that whole team, they really showed out.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, in order for Texas to really get in there, they're going to need one of the two. Either one or two of those teams in that top four, to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But that's gonna be interesting. And actually, matter of fact, we might as well just move on to the SEC championship with Bama and Georgia. Like you said, Bama, if they win, they're gonna need, obviously, Georgia's gonna have to fall. And I would have to say Florida State would have to be a team to fall to, and maybe even Washington, in order for them to get in. Because then after that, Oregon will have to push themselves up, obviously, with the win over Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And then Texas.
Now, but what if Washington beats Oregon?
Oh, then they solidified their spot. They're locked in.
But Alabama beats Georgia.
Then Georgia will fall. Michigan, if Michigan wins against Iowa, which
then
I think
they're
going to
be number one.
Then Michigan will be number one, correct.
Then what? You got Georgia at what? Three?
Georgia
two,
would
three?
Have to beat, no, Georgia would have to be at like three or four. Because if Washington wins, then Washington goes to two.
Washington got to go
Washington
to two.
Washington automatically goes to two. Then after that, we're talking Georgia skimming on the line of three or four.
You think the committee would really do that to them, though?
Yeah.
To
if
Georgia.
If you lose to an eight.
In a bowl game, too?
Yeah. In the championship game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And think about it. Georgia's never beat Bama in the SEC championship.
Yeah, that's big implications right
that's
there.
That's huge, right?
Those are some big, big implications. Both teams are fighting for something and something big.
Yeah.
Something big.
Yeah.
Because if Georgia loses and they fall off like that.
Think about it too. Georgia hasn't lost in 2 years. They're on a 29-game win streak.
Yeah, that's crazy.
2 years. So they're fighting for their legacy. They're fighting for their dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Bama's obviously fighting for their dynasty
just
as
their
well.
Dynasty and just being Bama, yeah.
So it...
Ooh.
Yeah, that's ugly.
Ooh.
That's ugly.
But and then, even if Alabama does beat them, I could see Georgia going to, 3-4, but Alabama just being right on the outside looking in.
Oh, yeah,
in.
Looking in, yeah. It's
going
to be...
right there.
Yeah, they're going to be number five. Yeah, number five or number six or something like that. Yeah, because, like I said, they need... They're literally going to need Texas to lose. They're literally, they're basically banking on a prayer at this point for Oklahoma State
to do something. A hope and a prayer. Damn, that's going to be crazy.
That's tough, right?
Yeah.
Florida State and Louisville in the ACC championship. Florida State escaped Florida 24-15. They moved from being number five back to being up to number four. I'm not going to say that they would just have to win. Like, we're not talking about, no field goal type win.
No,
we're talking about they need, a touchdown or two at least. You know what I mean?
They're going to have to try to beat the brakes off of them.
Yeah. This is another thing. I feel like I'm always, every time that we talk about the college football players, I feel like I'm always adding in another element.
Another layer, yeah.
But this is just how it goes. This week is all about style points. This week is strictly about style points right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like we said, for Florida State, they're going to have to beat the brakes off of teams. For Washington, they're going to have to be kind of convincing. They're going to have to be a little convincing. Even though if they win, like I said, they'll solidify their spot. Michigan, I'm not really worried about them because they're facing Iowa. Georgia, basically, if all they have to do is win mm-hmm. for them. All they mm-hmm. have to do is win. But yeah, no, Florida State is the biggest one where it's like you're really going to have to put your stamp on this game. Because if not, if Oregon loses to Washington by like 3 points and then Florida State barely gets by Louisville or loses to Louisville, Oregon's automatically taking that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe if, and then also we got to counter in the fact that Ohio State is only number six.
Ohio State.
If Florida State messes around, if Oregon messes around and loses too, if those two teams mm-hmm. lose or mm-hmm. something like that, and then Georgia and Michigan stay where they are, expect Ohio State to get in there.
Ohio State, yeah, exactly. Expect I can Ohio see that State too. To I'm glad you brought them up too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because that loss to Michigan, that pushed them out bad.
Yeah, they pushed them out bad. Yeah, they felt pretty good.
And I didn't think that would happen from that much.
From what was it? From number two to number six.
Yeah, like that's after losing to the number three team, this is just so crazy.
It's crazy, guys.
Oh my goodness!
And look, and now we really in the thick of it.
Yes,
now.
This is where all your chips in one basket right now. Like. Mm-hmm. 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 Like you said, style points. You got to win by style points today. Not today. But this week.
This weekend. Yeah. It's big weekend. But let's get out of that for a little bit. let's move on to the NBA. So now the in-season tournament finally getting off to the brackets now. Start off with the East. As a matter of fact, I'm over here on the West. Let's start off with the East. Mm-hmm. The Bucks are number one. Number two is the Pacers. Number three is the Celtics. And the wild card spot just getting in are the New York Knicks.
Orange and blue skies, baby. So, orange and blue skies.
So Monday, Celtics will play the Pacers in the knockout round. And then Tuesday, the Bucks will play the Knicks in the knockout mm-hmm. round. The Knicks obviously going to Milwaukee with the Celtics going to the Pacers.
That'll actually be real interesting. That Pacers game, Pacers versus Celtics, that's a game. Tyrese Halliburton has been doing his thing.
Bro.
And he is so finesse with it.
He's the best point guard in the league right now.
Not De'Aaron Fox or...
I put it to you like this. What Tyrese is doing right now,
mm-hmm.
bro, how he's able to control the pace of the game, how he's able to, you know what I mean?
Like, yes.
Like it's so easy to him. Like, think about it. Against Atlanta, they won against Atlanta 157 to 152. He had 37 points with 16 assists. He was 9 for 15 from the three.
Yeah, like that's disgusting. You could pencil him in for an easy like 13 assists a game. Easy.
Bro. Hold on. I'm about to read you. So this is the assist totals.
Mm-hmm.
This is a game starting from the start of November. 13, 12, 8, 13, 10, 17, 15, 3, 16, 16, 10, 9.
That boy putting up my career numbers right there. Those are my career numbers for all my 2K heads. But Jesus, that's insane. Like, that's insane. That boy putting on a clinic right now.
And the last time he didn't make a three was the first game of November. Other than that, he's at least made one three.
Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how the Celtics defense handles that.
Yeah.
You know, because you got, you know, KP, you got Al, you got, you know, long bodies, like, all up in that entirety. That.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how Derek White even, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Derek White guards him.
Yeah.
Drew Holiday guards him.
Because
we look at Drew Holiday like a defensive machine.
Yeah.
You know?
One of the best two ways, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that'll actually be a really good game. But I just want to talk, the Knicks in Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
that's actually also a good one as well. Yep. But I'm gonna take the Bucks. Just Dame and Giannis.
Giannis. They're starting to like I told one of my boys. I said they're gonna start finding their way. It's gonna take them a minute, but yeah, they're gonna start gelling.
They're starting to gel too.
Mm-hmm.
Same type of like mindset of a player.
Yeah.
Of just wanting to get it done no matter what, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No. They're figuring that thing out relatively kind of faster than I thought that they would too.
Really?
Yeah, a little mm-hmm. faster than I thought mm-hmm. that it would. Only because, you know, they didn't have like training.
Yeah, understandable. And stuff like that, yeah. So.
But yeah, no, I'm very excited to see what this knockout stage has in store for us. Going to the West Coast, we got the Lakers at number one, the Kings at number two, Pelicans at number three, and the wild card spot is the Suns.
So what, you got Suns versus Lakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we got
Pelicans going to Sacramento Monday.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah. That's a good one too.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to see the Pelicans in there. That's crazy. Yeah,
I thought that's crazy. You know, it's kind of funny. I thought that they would kind of fall off with CJ mm-hmm. McCollum out, mm-hmm. and CJ McCollum's coming right back at the perfect time too for this tournament. But yeah, no, Brandon Ingram and Zion were over there holding it down though.
Mm-hmm. They most definitely are. Zion doing his thing on the low. Yeah, yeah. Zion doing his thing. He's quietly doing his thing.
It is funny because I feel like any other year previously to this one, we would be like, oh yeah, like Zion this, Zion that. But because we've seen this before and we're kind of waiting, we're kind mm-hmm. of putting on a back burner because we're waiting for him to we just want him to be healthy.
Yes. Basically. Like you're waiting for that inevitable Zion out.
Right.
Essentially.
Right.
Which is awful to say, but it's the truth.
It's truth, yeah. It's the truth. But in reality, he's only really been out like a couple of times, and that's like due to rest. Like mm-hmm. it hasn't really been injuries or anything mm-hmm. like that. And like you said, he's been trying to buy into the system, which I don't know if it's like a trying thing, but bro, you basically are the system, so I don't understand what that's all about.
Exactly. Like the system revolves around you and let's just say BI too, correct. Brandon Ingram.
You're correct.
You got CJ McCollum on the back burner as your third option, yeah. which is one of the greatest third options ever if we're talking about it. He's a consistent scorer in CJ McCollum.
And he's really good at getting assists now, too.
I'm going to take Sacramento, though.
Okay, yeah.
Just because of my boy De'Aaron Fox.
Bro, after what I seen him do against the Warriors.
That boy dropped 40.
After what I seen him against the Warriors.
The 40-piece nugget.
The Warriors collapsed.
Bad.
In a worse way.
Bad. Really, really bad. And you don't expect to see that from the Warriors, man.
I got a bone to pick with Steve Kerr. Why in the world would you take out Moses Moody? And Moody was 4-for-4 in that fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And he was 3-for-3 from the three. 11 points.
Yeah, you can, huh? He had the hot hand.
I understand, you know, getting Wiggins back in there. You know what's funny? I would easily took out because Klay started out hot in the first half,
mm-hmm.
but then that second half he cooled down a lot. I would have easily been like, "Hey, look, I gotta take out Klay,
mm-hmm.
and I gotta keep Moses Moody in because mm-hmm. Moses literally hasn't missed."
You gotta ride the hot hand.
Exactly, he's the hot hand. Andrew Wiggins was pretty hot too.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I just keep them there with Steph Curry on the court?
Probably would have definitely had a better chance.
My worry is with this whole Warriors dynasty or whatever you want to call it. Is the fact that Steve Kerr does not trust the young guys right now.
Not at all.
And that's not good.
Not at all.
That's not good. You got Chris Paul getting injured again in one of the biggest games again. Every time that there's a big game, it's a key game or whatever, you could pencil in Chris Paul, something bad's going to happen to him. Hamstring, quad, something.
Back,
something random. Back, something. Something.
Groin.
Age.
Something. Age. That's and then
remember against Dallas. Remember against Dallas when he turned. I think he like turned. It was like his birthday or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh yeah, he gonna go off. Next thing you know, he just like sucked from then on in. Like
yes.
Like he was legit trash.
Yes, like he literally hit that age and he was like boom all the way down.
He went from like a point guard to like the point dod. Like it was just like. It was,
yo, on God though.
I don't know to get on Chris Paul. I love Chris Paul. Chris Paul is one of my favorite players. But like, man, like.
But again, it's the truth.
It's just, yeah,
it's the truth.
It is what it is. Like I don't know what to tell you, but yeah, no, I'm very excited to see this the West Coast too because the Lakers and Suns obviously is always going to be a classic between Bron and KD.
The fact that we get that, that's amazing. I know. I love it. Let's go.
Like,
let's
think about it. They're already in the same division. They already got to see each other four times.
Four times. Now we get in season tournament.
I got to see you extra time. Plus the fact that I might have to see you again, like, what, in, like, April, May?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, come on mm-hmm. now. Come on now.
This is what us basketball fans have been waiting for.
They spoiling us, man. They spoiling us.
Who you got in that game, though? Who you taking? Who you taking?
I'm going to take my Lakers,
You
going to
take your Lakers?
I'm going to take my Lakers.
I might, too,
I don't think we played Devin Booker there.
Just KD.
Just KD. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's gonna be a little different, but
if AD come and do what he's supposed to do,
that's exactly what I was about to say.
Brian gonna do what he gonna do.
I don't even call him AD because he doesn't deserve a nickname right now. His name is Anthony. His name is Anthony. Let's be honest. Until he consistently puts up like a 20-10 or like a literally a 25-15 or 25-12 or whatever, his name is gonna be Anthony.
From here
his
on
name
out,
cannot be AD. No, Anthony. You have to earn your nickname around these parts.
Mm-hmm. Because how you got a 38-year-old man doing the absolute most. I loved how the conversation was just, you know, we're going to, you know, put Bron on like, you know, not a minutes restriction, but we're going to watch his minutes. And then all of a sudden.
Now he's playing 35 plus.
Every game. That should not be happening.
It's funny because Bron so badly wants to give the keys of the car to this man.
He's so bad.
Every time he takes it, he just throws it right back.
He's like, actually, you know what? Here, I'm okay. Here you go. I don't understand it. How are you okay with just sitting idly by like that? You know, I'm going to say something actually real quick. On Stephen A. Smith's podcast, he was interviewing KG, and KG said, Kevin Garnett said, he might be trying his absolute best.
Yeah.
And he think he had 18 and like 5, 18 and 6, and that was the best he could absolutely put forth.
Yeah, that's the best.
And I'm like, you know what? I was like, I can't get mad at that. But we're going to just keep calling him the roller coaster.
I understand.
Anthony, the roller coaster.
I feel like me and you understand it a little better because we were players.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand, like, sometimes, like, that's... I'm not going to say sometimes that's all you have, but depending on your matchup, sometimes that's all I can give you mm-hmm. right now. You know what I mean? But, the only reason why we're hard on AD is because, obviously, you guys know it. Talent-wise, he's top 10, top 5.
Easily. There's no reason why he should not be up there with Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis.
You know what I mean?
And then it should be him.
Right. Right. And that's the only thing. The only thing that's really stopping him is himself. But he's been on boards with the boards lately.
He's been doing his thing on his glass cleaning.
Yeah, no.
Like, Hall of Fame, yes.
Starting since Friday, November 17th against Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Talking 14-10, 16-13, 13-11-16. Like, I can't, you know what I mean? I can't get mad at that. So
okay, Anthony.
As long as he keeps putting forth that effort right there, I can't get mad at that right there.
Uh-huh.
Diving into the NFL real quick before we get up out of here. The Panthers fired their head coach, Frank Wright, 11 games to the season. How do we, or 12, I forgot how many games they played. But, oh, man, that sucks for Bryce Young.
It does, but, you know, it wasn't like Reich was doing a whole lot.
Well, Reich wasn't doing a whole lot. Also, the owner of the Panthers didn't really do his due diligence mm-hmm. at all either.
Mm-hmm.
From what I heard when he hired Frank Reich, that they wanted C.J. Stroud
mm-hmm.
instead of Bryce Young. So, that could also go into it. From also what I'm hearing from different sources is just the fact that David Tepper, the Panthers owner, is just like... He's too much in the way. Kind of reminds me of like a James Dolan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're doing too much. You kind of need to take a step back and let the experts do what they have to do.
Let them handle it. Let the football heads actually handle it.
Exactly, yeah. Because he's been going through head coaches like it's no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lately, so it's that's a huge problem.
You gotta find a guy that can really come through, develop. You know, Bryce Young, mm-hmm. turn him into how like we used to think about Russell Wilson back in Seattle.
Correct.
You know, a scramble, like roll out to your right, roll out to your left, give me a pass. Like, you know, that's what you, in my opinion, that's what you need to find and really have him hunker down and keep him there. And actually, like, because you, again, like you just said, Carolina been going through head coaches. And you can't have that. That's not good for a development of, you know, your young quarterback, your young star, number one pick quarterback.
A young team, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You got to have them buy into the coach, and then the coach is buying into them, and everybody grows together.
Correct.
That's all I got to say about it.
Yeah, now that's going to be that's gonna be something to watch. Let's see what else. The Bills, the Bills took a bad loss. I'm not going to say a bad loss. It was a tough loss to the Eagles. That was a tough one.
It was. It really was.
They've had their chances. That Gabe Davis touchdown that that they missed on that choice route.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen's interception. Other than that, Josh Allen actually played pretty well.
He did. He played pretty well.
Could you put in, was he a reason for them losing? Yeah, but he wasn't the reason. The reason was their defense. Mm-hmm. You know, missing two of their star players, Matt Milano and Tre'Davious White, mm-hmm. is obviously huge for them and the reason and one of the reasons why they are where they are, where they're 10th in the AFC instead of being in one of those top slots, which we all thought that they would be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, they're literally.
They are literally actually falling before our very eyes right now.
Yeah.
And that's, like, it's crazy to witness because we held them to such high standards in the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, man, that Philly team is something else.
Yeah, no, there's a reason why they're 10-1, and they got a tough one against us, San Francisco, coming up this Sunday.
That's playoff implications. Mm-hmm. Come on now, that's crazy. Yeah. That's gonna be a great game.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one because Sacramento was talking a lot over the offseason. Not Sacramento, excuse me.
San Francisco, yeah,
talked a lot.
Over if the we had our quarterbacks, if we had yeah, our quarterbacks, yeah. We would have won. All right, let's go see.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited for that one. That one's gonna be a good one. Another one I would say is gonna be. That's about the only one
that's the only one that sticks out.
Yeah, I had to look over the schedule again. Yeah, that's really the only one mm-hmm. that's really going to be competitive, I'd say, that we know on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, everything else kind of seems like you could either, you know what I mean, you're probably going to be leaning one way because mm-hmm.
teams. It's not a coin flip.
Correct.
Yeah. I understand.
But yeah, no, I'm excited for this weekend. This weekend's gonna be awesome.
Yes, sir.
Also into college basketball. I know we haven't been able to really get into college basketball, but Friday, I know you guys probably won't see this till Saturday, but Friday night is a huge game. You got number 4 UConn and number 5 Kansas going against each other.
Yeah, that's a great game. So
I'm excited for that. But I have been watching and seeing what's been going on in college basketball. Don't worry, I know
we'll
exactly
get into
what's
it.
Going
we'll
on.
Get into it next week.
We will get into it. Kentucky got a huge win over Miami, which I was surprised about. Arkansas just won over Duke Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. Because basketball is getting into
it's gearing up. It's definitely gearing up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no. That's it for this episode. Happy to be back in the studio, my brother.
Always good to be back in the studio, my boy.
Oh man. Till then, you already know what time it is. Watch some good football. Watch some good basketball. And we will be back next week to give you more news and more updates on what's going on. And maybe even do a special. Cause Sunday afternoon is when they release the final rankings for the mm-hmm. For the college football playoffs. So
okay. Maybe
we should do like a little special or something like that afternoon and just, you know, put something together.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But till then, I'm your host Cam Silver.
I am your co-host Kyle Silver.
And this is the Silver Boys Podcast.
Yes, sir. Thank you.